Matthew 27. You may have noticed that it is approaching springtime. I told a little girl, she was out in the yard this past week, and she had some those yellow things in her hand. And that tells you, it's on its way. I ain't got much time now for cold weather. The older you get, the warmer you want to be. And I look forward to it. Just think about it. You can plant those tomato plants again. Billy, if you've already planted them, he's got them in the ground.
He's
coming. Summer is just a delightful time, and I love it. And I seem to favor it more and more. And just seems like it's a time of year when, George Gershwin that wrote that song about summertime? Well, it is a delightful time. You may have noticed as you go into places of business, you're seeing more and more of those bunny rabbits and eggs and baskets and all that stuff. What does that take? Easter's here. You'll have to go to a church meeting. You'll have to get among God's people to find out that He is risen. You won't find out there. So, a lot of things are happening. Since Nellie's here this morning, Nellie, is this your last Sunday with us? How many know Nellie Merrick? Raise your hand. How many are going to miss her? Woo.
May I say something?
Yeah, please, stand up.
As you all know, this is my last Sunday here, and I love all of you. And I want you to know that I appreciate everything that everybody here has done for me. And when my husband passed away, everybody reached out to me and they were so good to me. And I just love all of them. And I want you to know them. I'm going to miss you.
Bye. Nellie, it's not goodbye. We're going to see you again over at the home. And you're going to come back and visit with us, I'm sure. So remember Nellie. I think she's just going to adjust great over at the home. God bless you. I said it's Easter, and you hear from time to time when we get to these seasons of the year, like Christmas, and we think about the birth of a Savior, and at Easter time we think about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection. I've had notes written down for years about Easter is actually a name that was given to the goddess of spring. And how it came about that the season of the year, even among Christians, was designated in our remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection, call it Easter time. I think it would be better to label it resurrection time. And I think a lot about the cross. I think about the sufferings of our Savior, and we're going to focus on that this morning. If you have a devotional study that you follow, more than likely you are discovering that it is focusing upon those passages of Scripture in the Gospels that tell us about our Savior. And if you're not following some devotional guide that directs you in that way, I would advise you to do it. It's a real blessing. And stop if you have time. Maruth and I have a lot of time, and we talk about these things and how wonderful it is what the Lord has done. And He's coming again, and That's very exciting. That's a very exciting thing to even think about. He is coming again. So, with that in mind, I'd like to also mention that, I was asked, a couple of weeks ago, if I was observing the Lenten season. And I said, in what way? And they said, are you fasting? I said, I don't do anything fast anymore. He said, you know what I mean. And I said, yeah, I think I do. And, the Lenten season is a time of preparation for Easter fasting, conditioning yourself, physically. Good health and the practice of good, habits, eating and exercise, it makes you, a person better fit, I believe, to, worship and praise the Lord. But, this Lenten season, it starts, we had a discussion about this, some say 40 days before, Easter Sunday, and, it was mentioned that had I ever been to New Orleans at Mardi Gras time? No. He said, man, you ought to go. You ought to go. He said, you talk about wild living. I said, man, I'm not interested in my wild living. I've already sown all my wild oats. Thank God. They are all behind me. But isn't it sad that people, in preparation for a time in which they deprive themselves of things that normally they like to do, what they eat and what they like to do, during that Mardi Gras time, they just give vent to every lust of the flesh you can think of. Eating, drinking, everything imaginable. And this man knew something about that time, and he lived in New Orleans. He said, you know, they have to add on about 2,500 to 3,000 additional police officers to keep the peace. He said they're all over the place. Some of them are plainclothes people, but he said he said, I believe every crook in the country heads for New Orleans at that time. Thieves, con artists, pickpockets, prostitutes, drug dealers, they all come to that one place. Isn't that something? Thinking about the observance of this Lenten season, a time of fasting, in preparation for remembering the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Son of God, and these people. And they would claim that they have connections with religion. And it's going to be all right because they're going to confess it. They're going to go somewhere and let somebody listen to them confess what they've done that was so bad. And they'll be forgiven and they'll go on and they'll do it again next year. To me, that seems so sad. Our own reading regarding preparation of heart and soul for remembering our Savior and what took place when he was betrayed and when he was tried and crucified. We're reminded that he came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm so thankful that God had a plan and a purpose for what took place in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We may look at all of the circumstances surrounding the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it may sound like that man has been victorious. In fact, I'm thinking that those that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, those that hated him, those that would not have that man to rule over them, they said, well, the end of that, at least we've eliminated him that rabble rouser, that person that was a thorn in our flesh, we have eliminated him. But do you know God sovereignly, in that plan and purpose he had, he used the wrath of man to glorify his name. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation has been wrought upon a cross. The one that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The wrath of man, all of the horrible things that were vested out upon the person of the Son of God, God allowed it. Sovereignly, God was in control. But what was accomplished there? Oh my. We're so beholding to our God and to the person of his Son for what he has done for us. He lifted us up out of the miry clay. Now our feet are upon a solid rock, and that rock is Christ. So I'd like to read for you this morning out of Matthew's Gospel this account of the crucifixion and make some references to those last words that were spoken from the cross, and may the Lord indeed seal this home to our hearts. It is a special season. It is a special time. And I recommend to you that you read the scriptures that are found in the Gospels that relate. Follow it. It's easy to follow. They fall right in place. You don't have to read it all at one time, but sometimes you get caught up in the whole process to have continuity to it. You want to read the next chapter, and you like to put all of the pieces in place. It can grow on you, and it can enrich your life, and it can be a blessing to you. So, this morning, let's read from Matthew 27, and let's start at verse 33. Our Father in heaven, we ask your blessing upon this, the reading of the Word of God. We thank thee that this message that we have from the very heart of God to the heart of man, that we will look upon these words as being filled with a very accurate description of what took place so long ago. They're true, Lord. This is your word, and may it revive in us all that needs to be revived in love and worship and praise of the person of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to our hearts. Don't let one of us leave this place today without having our hearts spoken to. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this with thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew 27 and verse 33, and when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross." And likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God, that these also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And I'd like to have us just turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and read just a few verses. I think there's a real message there that should arouse some real interest in our souls when we think about the Lord Jesus and his great hour of passion and suffering. Beginning at verse 21, and this is again a description, the carrier's sufferings of Christ. For even hereunto were ye called, believers, that is, those that have trusted the Savior, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. These thoughts about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, right out of the Word of God, it does have a way. The Spirit of God who indwells us, and hopefully fills us, he's very responsive to our response to what we read in the Word of God. I said it can enrich your life. It can be a blessing. The Spirit of God is the one that ministers this Word to our soul's need, ministers the person of Christ to our souls. That's why it's such a blessing to come and to remember the Lord Jesus on a weekly basis. Gather around the table and remember him. You know, it says, examine yourself. That's one thing that I benefit from this, coming together on a weekly basis. Examine yourself. Not other people. Examine yourself. Look deep within your own soul and say, Lord, if there's anything there that's displeasing to you, I want to confess it and I want to get rid of it. Well, how important it is. There's great value in obeying and doing what the Lord asks us to do. Said the early church, upon the first day of the week, they gathered together to break bread. And that's why we do it here at Northgate. And I praise God for it. I thank God that we believe that it is important because the Lord Jesus said it. And those of us that have been remembering the Lord a long time. My own case for over 50 years. I tell you, I have never doubted for a moment what that has meant to me as a believer to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and His appointed way. He said, there's a loaf, there's the fruit of the vine, and there on that last night, that night in which He would betray, He instituted the Lord's Supper. Oh, how important that is. And so, today as we read these scriptures, and Matthew 7 has certainly given us what we look to as being such an important record, detailed record. You know one thing I find out about myself and others? Sometimes when you're reading things, you just pass over the part that you don't like. Do you know that some of God's people that in reading scripture, if they come to something they don't agree with and don't like, they pass over? You believe that? It will happen. If you come to something in the Word of God, that Word, by the Spirit of God, pierces your heart and causes you some concern. I don't like that. I don't like that. And so what do? You just glide on by. And you say, I'm going to read something nice. I'm going back to the 23rd Psalm and read that again. That's just the way we are. But I tell you, if you want something to grip your soul, what we've just read in Scripture, this account of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and what He was subjected to in His betrayal, that mock trial before Pontius Pilate. I was reluctant to mention this, but I think I will. I don't know if you went to view Mel Gibson's Passion of Christ, but we did, and, you know, it was so graphic. I tell you what it did to me. As we sat down and looked at that, everything was quiet in there. There was a lot of music. There's no audio part of it other than music. But I found myself weeping. And I didn't know I was weeping. Tears were just flowing down my face. I was glad that I did. I was glad that I did. I wasn't consciously aware of what I was seeing on that screen. The impact that it had on me as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It just hurt. Just hurt deep within my soul to realize what He had done for me. And that's what this does when you read this in the Word of God. And I focused today in on something that you're familiar with, in that there were some things spoken from that cross that have real meaning. Tell you so much about the Son of God. Gives you a little insight into His own mind and soul and the things that were on His mind and soul. Listen, the last words that people say sometimes when they're dying, people hang on to them. What did He say? What did she say just before she died? They record those words. And so it is with our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. But I believe we have to keep this in mind. That's not the last time you're going to hear from Him. Because we're going to close with a passage that tells you we better listen to what He has to say to us. Believer, today, obey the Word of God. And like His mother said of old, if He tells you to do it, do it. If He tells you to do it, do it. You want to find real joy in your soul? Do what the Lord Jesus asks you to do. Be obedient. Submit to His glorious headship as the head of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in Luke's Gospel, and that's the Gospel that we've been reading in our devotional time during this Lenten season, chapter 23 and verse 34, the first word that was spoken by our Lord from that cross, hanging there in agony, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. out and try in some way to just project myself into a situation like that. I'm absolutely sure I would not have said that. I wouldn't have said that. I don't believe Peter, the apostle, I don't believe he'd been hanging up there. He would have said that. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How many people do you know that you think have that attitude of heart? And they've been subjected to something that is just about as horrible as you can think of. And they said, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. The reading of Scripture tells us if we will not forgive others, God will not forgive us. Man, that strikes, boy, that strikes right in your heart. You mean if I don't have an unforgiving spirit, then God looks upon me unfavorably, to say the least. God doesn't like that. Oh, be ye tenderhearted, kind and gentle, of a forgiving spirit toward one another. Be willing to forgive. Peter's that man, you know, he asked the Lord about how many times you're supposed to forgive somebody, and the Lord just shook him right down to his boot top. He thought 7 times would be enough. The Lord said, what about 70 times 7? Shouldn't be any limit to how much we would forgive. In view of what's been done for us, and beloved, believe in the Lord Jesus, it was our sins that put him upon that cross. Our sins. He paid the penalty for our sin. Wages of sin is death. He died under the penalty of our sin so that we don't have to die. We are possessors of eternal life. It's a gift from God. And our Savior could say, Father, forgive. Because they don't know what they're doing. I agree with that. And you go on in Luke to, down to the 43rd verse. He says, in response to a request, it's found in Scripture that there were two thieves, one on either side of the Lord Jesus. And I just read an account of someone that took exception to the fact that when you see those three crosses, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is in the middle, but it's above all the other two crosses. He said, I don't believe it was that way. I believe, if anything, his cross would have been lower than the others. They did everything that they could to demean the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever they could do to inflict hurt and harm upon him, they did it. But he said he was right down there on the same level as those two thieves on the cross. Does it bother you sometimes that he came down to the level where he had to pay the penalty for your sin? I tell you right now, it can cause some soul wrenching to think that those evil things that have happened in an individual's life, like what they have thought and what they have said and what they have done, and you're ashamed of it. And he died for those sins. And he never committed a sin. But he died for our sins. Came down to that level where we were. But one of those thieves, you know, they'd been cursing. Oh, there were things said there. That was a violent scene there. All kind of things were being said. That's why I read that passage over in 1 Peter. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. I guarantee that he couldn't have done that to Peter without him responding. But he committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. One of those thieves said, turning to the Lord Jesus, oh, he said, Lord, in a moment his eyes had been opened. He recognized Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And he said, remember me. Remember me. when you come into your kingdom. And the response from the Lord Jesus Christ was not this. You sin too deeply. You've done too many horrible things. I can't take care of your situation. You know, that's never been said to any poor sinner that lived on the face of the earth. I don't care how low you've gotten. I don't care what you've done. The Lord Jesus Christ paid it all. Oh, yeah. He was made sin for us. All of us, God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a horrible thought. And even when I think about my own sin, and then I think about the sin of the whole world, he laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, he paid it all. He said to that poor thief, that's the best thing that man ever heard in his life. Today you will be with me in paradise. I know your heart. I know your mind. I know you have recognized me for who I am. For thou shalt confess thy with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Man, oh man, that verse of scripture has just indwelt a person's heart and soul to the point that it just seemed like it was too good to be true. Just to believe that Jesus Christ is God, God's beloved Son. He died upon a cross and he was resurrected. He was raised from the dead. Those that believe that are possessors of eternal life. Our Lord took into account that he had a human family and his mother was there looking on, and he had picked her out and he had seen her in the crowd. It shows how it seems that God never forgets any detail that needs to be taken care of. Mary needed some comforting words. I can't say how she was comforted by this, but he said, woman, behold thy son. What I'm doing is not only for the sin of the whole world, it's for your sin too. Didn't you know that Mary needed to be saved just like we were? She is looked upon as being divine and without sin, but poor Mary was a member of the human race. And all we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, not even Mary. Oh, behold, I'm doing this not only for the whole, I'm doing it for you, Mary, my mother. Behold thy son. This is what it took to bring salvation to mankind. That's found in John 19:26. When we begin to think in our minds the magnitude of what he suffered there and how horrible it was, little wonder that when we read in Matthew 27:46, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, when a situation like that gets so heavy and so filled with pain and suffering and mental anguish and being made sin for the whole world, it takes its impact. And even in that fleeting moment, the Son of God cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? To have that drawn out of his own soul. You know, brother and sister in Christ, it was horrible. Horrible. Have you ever felt like you were forsaken of God? Perish the thought. God loves us. God loves us. God loves poor sinners. I read at the outset. He came into the world seeking to save that which was lost. He saves lost sinners. Some self-righteous sinners won't come. It's there for them, but they won't take it because they're self-righteous. They think they're going to work their way to heaven. Perish the thought. After what has been done, what is recorded for us in the Word of God, the way of God's salvation, and people are still trying to work their way to heaven, God have mercy on them. Man, I feel sorry for somebody that says, I'm going to get there by my own good work. You're going right straight to hell. You're on the broad road that leads down to destruction, and you are going full blast in that direction. Now, oh yes, in the Word of God, in Luke's Gospel just a few days ago, in our own readings, a man that thought that, he died, and he opened his eyes being in torment. That's where good works and thinking that you're all right with God without trusting Christ, that's what's going to happen. He opened his eyes being in torment. I think this is just a little insight into, again, the horror of what our Lord Jesus experienced. In John 19 also, he said, I thirst. The physical sufferings were great. Those physical sufferings, as great as they were and as horrible as they were, he died on that cross as a sacrifice for our sins, but it is because of who he is. He is the Son of God. He is the sinless Son of God. He is a Lamb without blemish. He is the Lamb of God that can take away the sin of the world. It's because of who he is. Dying for our sin is all important. And yet he had that physical body. Suddenly that body that was craving for something that it needed, he said, I thirst. You ever been thirsty? You ever been so hot and just, oh, if I just had a drink of water. I just had something. It's not a very pleasant thing. Well, in John 19, there's still some words there that indeed just, I rejoice when I read it. He said, it is finished. I don't know what that means to you. I don't know how you react to that. He said, it is finished. You know, I just feel relief. It's finished. Nothing else ever has to be done to make a poor sinner right with God. He did it upon the cross. It's finished. No one else can ever come and do what I did and say that it counts for God. The salvation. I don't care if every person that felt any guilt of sin went and had a cross made and had somebody nail them to the cross and say, I'm going to pay for my own sin. It won't work. It won't work. The Son of God is the only one that was qualified. He's the only one that fit into that master plan of God. The purpose. It could not be duplicated by anybody else. One Savior. For the whole world. And sometimes we tend to block out some people that we don't like around the world. We won't include them. Sometimes we exclude them and I'm thinking, no, he died for all. Every man, woman, boy, girl, ever created and walked the face of this earth. He paid the penalty for all of us. I don't care who you are, where you are, where you've been. He paid the penalty, the Lord Jesus. And when he died on the cross, he said, it's finished. Nothing else ever needs to be done again like this. This never will be repeated. You know, that was brought home to my heart one time when I was reading John 17. Didn't that shock you, if you're not familiar with it? But he says, I'm not praying for this world. The Lord Jesus Christ and his intercessory work at the right hand of God, he's not praying for this world. He's already done everything that needs to be done and ever will be done to save a soul. You're not going to do anything else. As I pray for my own, I desire that all of those that trust me will be brought to me. I desire to see them. I desire to embrace them. But I'm not praying for the world. It's finished. It's finished. And then he says in Luke 23, Father, into thy hands, I commit or commend my spirit. Man did all that he could. And man thought he had done it right and he had eliminated this person. This person, Jesus Christ, would not be a thorn in their flesh anymore. Let me read something for you. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, man, when that word comes forth, listen, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Oh, man, you can spit on him, you can hate him, you can do anything you want to. He don't feel any of it anymore. This old world may hate Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They may do everything that they can, mean and despicable, to try to demean him as a person, but God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. That at the very name of Jesus, every knee, that poor old sinner that has cried out in total rebellion against the authority of God and said, I'll never bow my knee to that Jew. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. One day you will bow the knee. Because it says things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. You know, some sinner in hell right now that rejected and would not bow the knee, he's on his knees in hell. And he acknowledges that Jesus Christ is God. This was the Son of God. And I wouldn't acknowledge it. I wouldn't believe it. And now I'm doing it on bended knee. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm so glad I've done it. I'm so glad I've done it. I wouldn't trade places with anybody on the face of the earth. Not even a king. Or somebody that has the greatest wealth of man. Not even for one moment, one second, one blink of the eye. I wouldn't trade places with them for that long. So thankful this morning that we have gathered and we have sought to glorify and exalt the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have read and we've reviewed what he did for us. And we say, thank you, Lord. And I'm going to ask us to just close by singing. Michael can come and lead us in this. He's our song leader. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me this great salvation, so rich and free. Michael, if you will, come and lead us in that.